Amen. Up from the grave he arose. He lives, he lives, he lives today. Amen. Those old hymns are great, aren't they? Well, as we all have said, we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ today. 1 Corinthians 15:14 says, "And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty." The New Living says, "And if Christ was not raised, then all our preaching is useless, and your trust in God is useless." Someone said, Christ's death, burial, and resurrection was either the greatest moment in human history or the greatest hoax that's ever been played on anyone. Christ's death, burial, and resurrection is the foundation of our belief of who we are. Actually, in history, a lot of literature, human literature, a lot of art reflects this. The story of the resurrection is the world's number one seller, the Bible. All time revolves around the resurrection, before Christ and after Christ. You know, as we look at this today, someone has said that Earth's saddest day and Earth's gladdest day were just 3 days apart. Actually, many people look at the cross as a defeat. But really, the cross was a victory. Because without the cross, there would be no resurrection. The resurrection was the public display of the triumphant, or of the triumphant crucifixion. You know, for we Christians, the resurrection means everything. Because without the resurrection, we have nothing. We're like all the other religions. Their God is dead. They go to their graves. They go to the shrines. And they worship. But I can take you to a tomb in Jerusalem that's empty. I've been there. Somebody said, "Well, we don't know for sure that's the place." It's not whether it's really the place or not. It is knowing that the tomb is empty. As much of history as we can gather, it is the place. In this age that we live, people are, and theologians are still splitting hairs on who Jesus is. Some say he was a great teacher, some a great prophet, some a great person. Undoubtedly, he was all of that. He was a great teacher. He was a great prophet. He was a great teacher. But he was more than that. Jesus is a husband to the bride. He's a friend to the friendless. He's a physician to the sick. He's a psychiatrist to the confused. He's a banker to the poor. He's a compass to the traveler. He's the bright and morning star to the one walking in darkness. He's the healer of all sickness. He's the savior of every sin. He's the deliverer from every habit. He's the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. He's the one who the prophet Isaiah said, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I'm talking about Jesus, the one who rose from the dead. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the Lily of the Valley. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the one that was. He's the one that is. He's the one that's coming again. He's the one the grave could not hold. He's the one sin could not entice. He's the one that arose from the grave. He is the victor. He is the one God has highly exalted and given a name that's above every name, the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He's the one who turned water into wine. He's the one who walked on the Sea of Galilee. He's the one that spoke and the blind could see, the lame could walk, the deaf could hear, the mute could speak. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's who Jesus is. We talk about the resurrection and we talk about the crucifixion, but who is Jesus? I'm telling you who he is. He's the one that the book of Revelation says he will come riding on a white horse, and across his vesture is written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If I had 1,000 tongues and 1,000 lives, I could never tell all that Jesus really is. John said it this way in the last of his book. There are many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. That's what the Apostle John said in John 21:25. He said that if everything that Christ did in that 3 or 3.5 years, if everything he did, there would not be books enough to contain it all. That tells me that what we have in the four Gospels is just a minute part of what really happened when Jesus walked on this earth. And somebody asked, who's Jesus? He's everything. Without him, we have nothing. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, we have life and have it more abundantly. We have redemption. Now put on your imaginary cap and take a trip with me to a room where Jesus and his disciples are celebrating the Passover feast. And it was something that the Jewish nation did every year. It was their celebration of being delivered from Egypt's bondage. And as we study in our types and shadow classes in Bible school, Egypt is a type of sin. But as they finished their Passover supper, Jesus instituted a new Passover for us. He broke bread and said, take, eat, this is my body. He took the cup, he said, drink, this is my blood shed for you. It hadn't happened yet, but he set it in order. Now go with me as they walk from that place out through that eastern gate, down through the valley of Kidron and up
on the Mount of Olives to a garden. And there Jesus left his disciples and he went to pray. And he knelt and he began to pray. And as they began to pray, the heaviness of the sins of all mankind were resting heavy upon him. He began to perspire, as the scripture says, as though they were great drops of blood. He cast his eyes heavenwardly and he said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass." And then he uttered those famous words, "Nevertheless, your will be done." He stands to his feet, goes back to his disciples, and there he awaits for the armed mob that would come to take him away. And now we see him standing in Pilate's judgment hall. They're mocking him. They say to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And he utters the only words that he uttered during the trial, and he says, "You've said it." Pontius Pilate, realizing that this man could possibly be who he says he is, realizing that he's done nothing wrong, he says to himself, "How can I release this man?" And then he remembers the custom of releasing a prisoner to them at Passover. And so he offers to release either Jesus or Barabbas, the worst criminal that was known in that day. And the angry mob yelled, "Release Barabbas, Barabbas, crucify Jesus, crucify Jesus." And there he stands, and somebody says, "Well, if you're a king, you need a robe." And they give him a purple robe, which represents royalty. "Oh, you need a crown." And they weave a crown of thorns, and they jam it on his head. And the blood begins to trickle. They pluck out his beard, and the blood begins to appear in the pores. They spit on him. They mock him. Someone yells, "You think you're the Son of God," and slaps him across the face. Soldiers take him to the lower part of the judgment hall. They strip his back till it's exposed. And history says that at those Roman whippings, they would bend the person over, tie their hands so that their back was exposed. And a big muscle-bound Roman soldier grabs a whip. And history says that at the end of each one of the thongs of leather, there was a little ball of lead with glass and rocks and stuff in it. And he begins to give him 39 stripes. And they say, as you read from history, that they would pop that whip and jerk it back, and as those balls with the lead, a glass would come across his back, not only was the leather ripping his back open, but that glass was ripping him. Being born in Texas and know something about a whip, and some of you do, a person that knows how to use a whip correctly can pop it on a horse, make him go, or they can use it and they can cut his flesh. How many of you know that about somebody that's a cowboy and knows how to use a whip? Anybody know that, ever seen that? They can do that. They say that when they were giving those whippings, that sometimes that they would miss and it would wrap around and actually rip the front part of their body, even their face. And this sort of bears witness for what it says in Isaiah 52:14, that his face was so marred that he was unrecognizable. As he came down with those stripes, each one for healing, the blood began to spatter. You know, salvation and healing go hand in hand. 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live to righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. From there, walk with me down the Via Della Rosa. As he carries the cross to Calvary, he lays his life down willingly. They drive nails into his hands and his feet. And with one last breath, he looks up and he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because God turned his back on sin. He can't look at sin. Jesus did not sin. He became sin. He took it for us. And he said, it is finished. And his head dropped to his chest. And he was dead. The despair of the disciples set in as they all fled. They took his body down and they put it in a tomb. Those disciples knew what he had said, that he would rise on the third day, but they didn't understand it. But the Roman officials, the Jewish officials, they evidently believed that this might happen. And they put a stone and they sealed it and they put soldiers at the grave. Time passes. And on that morning, as the sun, S-U-N, rose in the eastern sky, Mary comes to the grave with others to perform what the Jewish people did, that they evidently learned when they were in Egypt by putting the cloth around and so forth. The stone was gone. The grave was empty.
She went and told Peter and John. They ran inside, and the angel said, "What are you looking here for? He's gone. He's risen." And today, because he's risen, we have life and have it more abundantly. There is no other religion in the world except Christianity that has a God that died and rose from the dead. The Bible says that he arose from the dead. Historical writings say so. The writings of Josephus, if you go read it, it's about that thick in real little print. But he records that there was a man by the name of Jesus that died on a cross and that he rose again. It is recorded. This is not a myth. It is the truth. And today you and I have life. We have life and have it more abundantly because Jesus Christ rose on the dead, from the dead, and because of everything that I said, because who Jesus is. Jesus isn't just the Savior. Jesus is everything to us. He is everything to everybody. He will give you everything you need. And because of who he is, we have life and we have it more abundantly. He gives us life. Now, what am I talking about? I'm talking about spiritual life. When the Bible talks about death, it says we were dead in our trespasses and sin. We weren't dead, but our spirits were dead to God. But because Jesus died and rose again, our spirits can be alive. That's what it's talking about. We are alive from the dead. And when we are baptized in water and we go underneath that water and we raise out of that water, we're saying to everybody, I died with Christ, but I rose with Christ. And now I can live the life that God wants me to live. And I want to tell you today, he's coming back. And it's not going to be very long. Everything in Bible prophecy is showing us the way and saying the end is at hand. Actually, it could be any time now. We could hear that trumpet sound and the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds of glory. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. When that happens, this dispensation of grace that we're in, dispensation of the Holy Spirit, that time between the 69th and the 70th week of Daniel's vision, that's our time. That's the Gentiles' time. When we're out of here, when he comes and takes us out of here, then the 70th week comes in and it goes back to the Jewish nation. And I don't have time to go all into prophecy, but I know I've studied it. I know about it. But what somebody said, well, why don't you talk about it? Because it doesn't concern us. What concerns us is Jesus dying on the cross, Jesus raising from the dead. That's what concerns us. And we're out of here. And then God will give the Jews another chance. But right now, you and I have our chance. This is our opportunity. And today, I've talked about who Jesus is. He is the Son of the living God. Bow your heads, please. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you're in this place today, and you need Jesus, or if you're in this place right now, and you're like a lot of people, you accepted Christ, but you've gone away, and you're not where you should be, and you need to rededicate your life. Are you in this place and you say, I go to church, but I don't know whether I've ever accepted Christ or not? Anybody on those three invitations right now, I want to see your hand. I want to pray for you, and your life's going to be changed forever. Let me see your hand. You need Christ. You need a no-so experience with God. You need to rededicate yourself to God, upstairs, downstairs, anywhere in this room. Right now, because of who Jesus is, he can change your life forever.
It doesn't matter if you're bound by a habit. He can deliver you from that. He can set you free now. Anybody in this place, anywhere. Let me see your hand. Anybody, anywhere. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I see no hands in this place today. I thank you right now that if there is one person in this place that does not know your son Jesus that rose from the dead, I thank you that you, Holy Spirit, would go with them and they would not be satisfied until they stop and rededicate their life or accept your son Jesus. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Everybody stand. We thank you. Everybody raise your hands and thank God. Right now, thank God for Jesus that arose from the dead. Thank him right now. I can't hear anybody. What are y'all doing? Y'all talking? Y'all just standing there with your hands in the air. Let me hear you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank God for your salvation. Thank God for your salvation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for your salvation. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Can we sing one of those old hymns, He Lives, or Up From the Grave He Arose? Get a songbook out. We got them down there. I got a bunch of young kids up here never heard them songs. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? So how many of you would like, before we go today, would like to sing one of those? Either He Lives or Up From the Grave He Arose. We getting a songbook. Look in the index there. He Lives or He Rose. Somebody just turned something on. Hallelujah.
Serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hands of mercy, I see His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives. Christ lives to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Let's sing that first verse again.
I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. And I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near.
Sing it.
Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He
since y'all sung that song. Yeah, some of us heard those songs all of our life. How many of y'all heard that time, every time, especially every Easter you sang that one? And also, Up From the Grave He Arose, that was a good one too. Praise the Lord. Well, I trust that you received something from today. I trust I was able to paint a word picture of what actually happened on that time. It's real. It happened. But he's not dead. He lives. Hallelujah. Well, remember all of our announcements. Tonight at 6 o'clock, be right here. Next Sunday morning, be right here. Wednesday night, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. Actually, 6 o'clock tonight, 7 o'clock on Wednesday. All right. Would my connection team please go and get our first-time guests and take them to that special place to receive a gift. Staff, you can go to the doors to shake hands. I'm going to be west today. That's where everybody else is going to be. You can go wherever they're at. We got Craig and Mia south. Bill Ray south. Denise and Donna at east. Dad and Amanda in the north. Hallelujah. Tonight, 6 o'clock. Have a great rest of the Easter day. We love you. We'll see you tonight at 6. Don't forget the announcements. God bless.
Yeah, yeah. Come on, declare. When hell